This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
We are fighting a war 30 years in the future.
Is this a joke?
Our enemy is not human.
We need you to fight.
You got drafted.
I will be back.
Why is this happening? What about the teacher's deferment and the veteran's deferment?
If I don't go, they're going to draft you in my place.
3, 2, 1. In 11 months' time, all human beings in the future will be wiped from the face of the earth. Unless you help us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. It is our review segment today, and we're talking about a film that just came out at the start of this month, actually. And that is, I can't even say the title, sorry. And that is The Tomorrow War.
Yes, it's about a war that takes place in the future. You know what? For all that, I'm probably not going to say any much more than this after this. I was looking forward to it mostly because it's about aliens and time travel and the future and a war and Chris Pratt. And I wish that I liked it more than I did.
So, I loved it. there's no point in hiding it or no point in like sugarcoating it. But I absolutely love this movie. It's some of the most fun I've had watching a movie this year, which is not saying much because there's been nothing big that has come out so far. But it's such a big budget, bombastic, sci-fi, over-the-top alien film about nothingness. And it's so good at making you suspend disbelief without even trying. Like, it's so effortless. So within the first like 15 minutes, I was like, I don't care if this thing makes sense or not. You know, I want to see more. I want to see like so much more.
Arvin, we're going to agree and disagree on a lot of stuff, I think. Just on the basis of that, because I agree with pretty much 50% of what you just said, and I strongly disagree with the other 50. It is, I think we've kind of covered almost everything you need to know about the film, in that it is an action military, clearly what's meant to be a blockbuster type movie. You know, it's not very complex. There is a war that's happening in the future. We have been beset and overrun by aliens. And so a bunch of people come back to our time and say, guys, you need to come and help us fight the tomorrow war. And that's it. and there's sort of this very, very tenuous form of time travel that is hardly explained. This is not your classic time travel film, right? Nobody spends a lot of time mulling over exactly what
paradoxes.
The continuum comes up like once, and then that is it. So that's the basic premise of it. And Chris Pratt is a scientist who was also
suspending disbelief right there.
Was also a former veteran of the Iraq War. So he's like the perfect confluence of person to lead the situation.
Except he's not Chris Pratt. And I think that might have been my biggest problem with this film. You know, for all that I found so much of this ridiculous and silly, and I wish that they had put more effort into telling the story, I really think I would have liked it a lot more if the film just didn't take itself so seriously. And that was why I was excited. I thought, well, if it's Chris Pratt, and he's generally just so much fun to watch, and he's so full of humor, that even if this was one of those silly blockbusters that don't entirely make sense, I'm there for it. But unfortunately, no, you actually get dour Chris Pratt for like 95% of it. And then the rest of the time, he gets some funny throwaway lines which just stick out weirdly. And to me, I think that was why the rest of the film didn't gel, because it's trying to be a blockbuster and too serious when it could have just been big, dumb and fun.
I mean, that part where they are recruiting people to join their war. So basically, they open a time portal in the middle of a football game. And then a bunch of people who look like they've just finished playing paintball hop out of the time portal and say that they want their parents and their grandparents to come back with them to fight this war. So at that point, you have to like make a decision. And I made a decision. I'm like, look, do I want this to have any sort of quality or do I want quantity? And I went for quantity. I'm like, give me all the quantity. I don't care if you explain any of the plot or the characters or whatever. And it took me everywhere I wanted to be. It took me all the places I wanted to go and then some, because it's a long film. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes, I think. Yeah, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
So I think I struggled a lot with the execution of it as much as anything else, because the movie, I think, in terms of pacing and storyline, isn't exactly sure where it wants to dwell. On the one hand, it wants to hustle you along to the Tomorrow War, which takes place in what looks suspiciously like 2025. You know, so it wants to kind of push you there quickly so that we can start dealing with the aliens. But on the other hand, it also wants to say a little bit about what it would mean if we had to be persuaded to save ourselves. It also wants to say a little bit about the logistics of drafting this many people. It also wants to have its say about family drama. And so in each of the sequences, I felt almost like I was watching vignettes, and they were unevenly produced by different people. So the end result for me, at least in the first part, was that it felt a bit like a sketch show, which is not helped by the fact that sketch shows these days have done so many excellent parodies of this sort of film, such that I was like, oh, hold on, is this Comedy Central? No, it's not. And that's not really a judgment on the film, more as a, I don't know, as a product of a very specific moment where we're all used to parodying action films, and where maybe in order to get past the parodies, action films have to do a little more.
And none of these things that the movie is doing is new, right? The alien, the way the aliens are in the storyline is not particularly new. The idea of time and traveling to save the future, not particularly new. The only thing that I liked was the design of the aliens, which unfortunately the movie doesn't really spend enough time to sort of let you feel it the way you would with, like, say, Alien, the movie, where the grossness and fear of the design really gets to you. I will say, though, that I think had the film ended at the two-thirds point, and if you watch the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about, I might have been more forgiving of it, where it's largely set in the future and it's structured around this war and the future people's efforts to defeat these aliens. My problem was that then you have another whole third which just completely stops making any sense whatsoever. And that's when the film really let me down, because I was like, none of this makes sense. Nobody would behave like this. These are choices that no logical person would make. And yet there you are for at least 45 minutes to an hour having to sit with it.
Yeah, it's completely, the logic's all over the place. Like like you mentioned, even the time stuff makes no sense. I love the look of the aliens. I love the color they went with. I love the creature features. I felt the CGI was like really, really good. And also I appreciated the fact that the aliens were out in daylight or in daytime, as opposed to a lot of these sci-fi films where the aliens are in the dark or in the shadows, or like horror films where you don't really see what they look like. So I was glad that we got to see the aliens in their full form, and you know, like there's a bit of furriness and ickiness and all that stuff. My biggest problem with the film was how they wasted Betty Gilpin. So I was like, if you have Betty Gilpin in a film, and if you've seen like Glow and The Hunt, and even her on like talk shows, her comedic timing is like top notch. It's on point. I don't know why you would have her as the worried partner who stays behind and who's gone like 90% of the movie. You know, like anyone could have done that. Like a no-name actor could have done the same thing. So that
she
was
resolves a scientific crisis that nobody else could. Okay, how dare you put her down in matter of minutes.
In dialogue,
yes.
You know, so that was my biggest, I was like, wait, why is she playing such a small role or such a small distance? So I was looking forward to her doing more. I think that's my biggest like downside of this whole thing. A couple of others, but that was like my biggest no-no.
Actually, in general, when it came to the women, I thought Betty Gilpin, like you said, is underserved, but I also wondered why Yvonne Strovsky was here, in the sense that I really like her. I think she's a really good actress. But her role is slightly thankless. We can't really say exactly what it is. She plays a very pivotal role in leading the situation. But And that makes it sound like she does a lot, but the stuff that the movie gives her to do is not much. And I think it's because, as we've been talking about, you have Chris Pratt. And Chris Pratt takes up a lot of space in terms of the stardom stakes. I'm not saying that that's a problem with him, more that he's reached the era of leading man where if he's in an action movie, then he's going to get the most time. But that... for a movie like this one, which is kind of inherently silly, and I wish it had leaned into that a bit more, I don't know whether relying on a serious leading man was the way to go when you also have someone like Sam Richardson, you know, kind of hanging about and doing his thing.
I mean, my closest example, and I kept thinking of this movie for many reasons, Edge of Tomorrow, you know, aliens, concept of time, and yet, you have Tom Cruise at the heart, but Emily Blunt got such shine in that film. And it's not impossible. I think it's just a question of writing a story well and then shooting it well. And I think this film just has so many gaps that it doesn't really know where its center is. The heart of it is actually in the relationship between Chris Pratt and Yvonne Strahovski, but it kind of drops the ball even there. And yeah, I don't know. I think my main issue with this is that there's nothing much to hold on to and take away from it.
Which really could have been solved is if the like you mentioned, the stardom was not so lopsided. And I don't know if that's like a screen time thing or a few people, it's like a pay thing. I don't know. There must be some boring reason behind why they get so much of screen time, right? But if the star power was not so lopsided and Chris Pratt wasn't pulling like everything towards him, I think the movie would have been like a way better movie, especially because there are so many, I wouldn't say better actors, but that's the truth, right? Better actors, so many people who can do or perform better than Chris Pratt, it would have been a more quality film.
So we're talking today about The Tomorrow War, which just came out on Prime at the start of this month, and on which we here in the Popcorn Culture gang are a little bit divided. Let us know if you've seen it, if you liked it, if you didn't. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
I was trying to save my daughter. If I gotta save the world to save her, then I'm gonna do it.
This is the end. The human species will disappear from the face of the earth. We are literally living on borrowed time.
There's still a chance that we can stop this war from ever happening. So we gotta fight.
Well, it's nice knowing you.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. I was kind of going back and forth on whether or not to do a cheesy time travel pun, and then I realized the movie itself doesn't do that, so I shouldn't bother. We're talking about The Tomorrow War, which is a sort of action sci-fi movie that just dropped earlier this month on Prime. It's directed by Chris McKay. It's starring Chris Pratt. It also has those supporting performances by Yvonne Strahovski, J.K. Simmons, Betty Gilpin, Sam Richardson, so some really fine performers, and we've been asking you what you think. Now, we talked a bit about the aliens. I wanted to dive into it a bit more because I actually think that the aliens are one of the strongest things in the whole movie, in that they are so horrifying. I think in order for an alien movie to work, the aliens either have to be really, really cute, of which we don't have that many, or they have to be really, really horrifying. And there has to be stuff in their arsenal that makes you genuinely afraid of them. And the white spikes in Tomorrow War really do that. They are horrible.
They're horrible looking. I love the design, the color. There's just something about, you never get white aliens, do you? And I know it sounds super simplistic, but the color scheme, the white with the splashes of red, there's something very off-putting about it that really works. And I wish they developed the mythology of the aliens more. Again, I'm going to sound like a broken record in that it had potential. It really did have potential. And I wish that they'd done more with the aliens and gotten us to understand more about how they came to be and what they're doing here.
I mean, your wish might come true. you know, soon. I wanted to point out that I love the sound of the alien. So even like aesthetically, they look amazing. But then any alien or creature that has a signature sound, and a good signature sound, terrifies me. And I kept thinking about stuff like Annihilation. So they keep doing this where like different creatures in Annihilation have different sort of sounds, and you know that they're showing up. These aliens do the same thing. And they have a weird echoey, I don't know what they call it, like clicking.
Yeah,
noise. The clicking sound. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And it's very creepy. It's very, it's like really like, you know, you don't want to be anywhere within the radius of these things. So yeah, like I said, and just the fact that they were out in daylight. I love that the budget allowed them to be out in daylight.
You see the full body shots of the aliens quite early and then quite a lot, which is rare for these sorts of films, right? Usually they hint for a long time, like it's a stalk of an eyeball, here's a claw. And then, you know, eventually you see them. But this one, from the very beginning, you get to, I guess you really get a sense of the threat. And that goes a long way towards answering perhaps a few of the other questions you might have about how it is that you're dragooning people into this war that you're telling people are coming. So that's one thing that I think we can all agree. The white spikes, good. Now, as for logic, I think my central question to the both of you is, how much logic do we actually want from our blockbusters? And are we less forgiving of this film because it is a streaming service? Like, we're not getting the full, I'm going out, I'm getting popcorn, I'm settling in, and I'm going to switch off for 2 hours. How much of it is that versus the logic just being what it is and us not accepting it?
Firstly, I want to reiterate that Arvind started this by saying he loved it, and I feel like we haven't given him enough space to say why. So I'm going to keep my answer short. I want more logic than what this film offered.
So for me, it's within the, I decide within the first 15 minutes. And if within that first 15 minutes, your internal world logic is supposed to be serious and grounded and in some kind of pseudoscience, then I expect the whole movie to follow through. But if in the first 15 minutes, you are so clear that you don't care about any kind of science or any kind of plausibility, then I'm with you. But then you have to lean into it. And I love that this movie leaned into it, that they didn't even take the effort to make you believe that they were going for something realistic within the first 10-15 minutes, and then they went for it. It went like full-blown blockbuster, we don't care if you believe us or not sort of thing. So in these kinds of films, I don't look for logic at all. Like, I require maybe 25%, but if you don't give me that 25% and I know that you don't care, I'm like, I'm okay with it.
So I'm a 0 or 100 kind of girl. I tend to need very, either, especially if you're going to be talking about things like extraterrestrials and time, I feel like either lean into it and tell me everything, you know, tell me that there's a queen, tell me that they all worship her, you know, you give me all that stuff. So I get it. And help me understand what you don't seem to understand about branching timelines. If, on the other hand, you really don't want to give me anything, then let's not take it seriously. And that helps me. But I do recognize that not everyone's like that. I think having some grounding for a lot of viewers is actually quite important to being able to appreciate the film. For me, I wish that it had been, and I've said this quite a bit, I wish it had been sillier. I think that if you have someone like Chris Pratt in the role, he already looks the part. And you can therefore, I think, unleash him a little bit more to be kind of more goofy, more, more Burt Macklin, more Johnny Karate than what we're actually seeing, less Owen from Jurassic World. So I don't know. I wish that there had been less logic, I think is what I'm saying. I wish they'd gone down to zero, under 10%.
And you have to make a choice. And I think that's the problem with this film. Is it trying to be serious sci-fi? Is it trying to be funny? I mean, Will Smith in Independence Day is another great example, right? Like, he's funny. He's funny consistently throughout while also being heroic. And I think the problem with this movie is that it's just not sure where it wants to land.
Another issue I had with this movie is the way it looks. And I know I keep bringing up issues, and I said that I love it in the start. But I think I love it for nothing. There's no reason why I like it so much. It's just that it's a big, dumb, fun film.
No, I get it, because I was invested. I was invested in the film.
Yes. Yes, I was like completely invested with the story or lack thereof. Another issue is the way this movie looks, because for the longest time, right, these streaming services like Netflix and Prime and stuff, they've tried to emulate the cinematic feel. So their production and their cinematography will try to trick you into thinking that this was something that came out on the big screen. This movie looks like a TV show. Like if I didn't know that this was a feature length film, I would have thought it's an episode from some sci-fi TV show. And that kind of bums me out, because it shows that they're not even putting in the effort anymore to make it look like a cinematic release. And you can just tell that this is going to be the way moving forward. Like this is the benchmark, and that they can make big budget productions without making it look like an IMAX thing or like a widescreen thing or a big, like a theatrical thing. And I don't know how I feel. Like just seeing that, the sort of flat-ish look that it has, it bummed me up. It just made me feel sad, I guess.
Which goes back to what we were saying earlier, right? About how much leeway we give our cinematic blockbusters versus our streaming blockbusters, because the premise is really the same. They're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to give you big spectacle that you doesn't require that much thought, but they are hampered, I think, by the fact that they're not offering the full experience and they're not offering the full look. I actually have grown to like the film the more I've stopped watching it. So the further away I am from it, the more I like it, because of all the things that we've been talking about, because it's entertaining enough, because it's trying to do, I don't know, something, because it doesn't pretend to be all that ambitious. I think that helps. So all of which leads me to ask, there's going to be a sequel, it looks like. Are we going to watch this?
No, but I think as you just pointed out, I think I'd quite happily rewatch this one with friends just to yell at the screen.
I'm definitely watching the sequel. I'm definitely watching the sequel. If they made like an animated series, I'm going to watch that. If they had like a TV show spin-off, I'll watch that too. But I don't think I'll ever watch this movie again. It's like a one-time 2.5 hours is enough sort of deal. But I'm definitely there for the sequel.
I'm going to watch the sequel just to talk about it with you. Like, that's literally
yes.
it. Because
yes.
because the delight in your voice as a friend is worth seeing and it's worth like engaging with. But that's it for me, guys. So we're talking today about The Tomorrow War, which came out earlier this month, directed by Chris McKay, starring Chris Pratt. It's available to watch on Prime. Let us know if you've seen it, if you liked it, if you didn't. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.